that happen, we know that's just not imagination. We're getting some empirical reporting of an event that happened that can be confirmed. See what I mean?
Yes. Can I ask one more question, and then I'll hang up and listen to you on the air?
Sure.
Wally George is yelling about capital punishment in the next room. I kind of wonder...
Wally George is always yelling about it.
If we go to such a nice place, I mean, I'm just curious, if we go to such a wonderful place, I wonder what happens to these criminals that die in the electric chair and gas chamber. Are we not punishing them at all? Where do they go, I wonder?
I can't answer your question. I'm not sure because I wasn't a criminal before that happened to me. And maybe if I had been, I might know that answer.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, well, that always puts an interesting touch on it. Capital punishment. Do we have the right to snuff out somebody's life? And also, do we have a right to let them continue to go around snuffing out other people's lives? This is probably a personal problem about their own situation. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind.
This is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
First-time caller, but not a first-time listener.
Oh, thank you.
I had a near-death experience the end of May this year, which was very much like what everybody's been talking about. I was in the market, and I had a severe angina attack, so I walked over to the manager, told him there was a place I could sit. He got me a chair and said he was going to call the paramedics. And then after he called them, he sat down and he held my hand. And suddenly I wasn't there anymore. I was floating in a void, a dark void. Now I realize it was a tunnel, because I was floating in a position like I was swimming in a dead man's float.
Okay.
And in front of me was light, and I realized the light was coming from two little angels, and they were floating too in front of me, and they had the white floating gowns that was causing the light. But in front of them was a bright light, and it seemed as if they were leading me towards the bright light. Now, I could hear at a distance, but I could not feel. And I heard the paramedics say, "She has no pulse, she has no blood pressure." But nothing bothered me. I was peaceful, content, serene, and it's as if there was nothing in the world but happiness and wonderful feeling. And when I opened my eyes, I was in the ambulance, and the paramedic was looking down at me, and he had a great big grin on his face, and his whole face was lit up. And I looked at him because he was happy, like, thank God she's alive. And I looked at him, I smiled, said thanks, and I started to go back where I was because I wanted to go back.
Mm-hmm. And, many people don't want to come back.
And he gave me a shot of...
Listen, if you can backstroke all day long, that's not bad.
It was a French stroke, too, like a dead man's float. And he gave me a real strong shot of oxygen that opened my eyes, and I started coughing. I said, boy, that was real strong. He says, oh, I must have turned it on too high. And he says, now I'm going to give you a shot. And I closed my eyes again, and I got another whiff of that, and it was like smelling horseradish, fresh horseradish that would clean out your sinuses.
Well, that sent me back to the other side.
Yeah, and I said to him, boy, that was strong. He says, well, I must have given you too much oxygen again. He said, I got to, I'll turn it back. And then the other man was talking, I was aware then that the other paramedic was talking on a radio, two-way radio. And the man on the other side was to a hospital. And the person at the other side, the doctor, said, if her blood pressure goes below a certain thing, I don't remember what it was, give her a certain kind of shot. He says, oh, she's alert now. Mm-hmm. And they kept talking. Well, the paramedic who was taking care of me kept talking and talking. He would not shut up. And everything that he said to me needed an answer from me. And it was the paramedic who brought me through.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, now that paramedics, because they're so aware of the near-death experience that people can be brought back, they spend time when they're trying to get the heart started again. telling the patient, come on, you can come back, come on. And they do this, and quite often, sometimes that encourages the person during the near-death experience to actually return.
And I didn't hear anything that they said, though.
Oh, it is possible. Many people do indeed experience everything that's happening while the paramedics are trying to wake them up. And I'd like to comment, too, on your angels. Emanuel Swedenborg is a man who, in the 17th century, wrote about being out of body, and he frequently saw angels, so you're not alone.
But I was not out of body.
Oh, well, a near-death experience, whatever.
Yeah,
well, you were floating in that void with the angels. That was out of body. You weren't doing that with your body.
Oh, no, something was doing it.
Right, yeah. Your consciousness. That's the part we're talking about, was away from the physical body.
But it was such a beautiful experience.
Uh-huh.
And I did want to go back.
Oh, I know.
Well, I thank you very much for sharing that beautiful experience with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. My pleasure. And who we have here now?
Hello.
Hello there.
Diane, this is Joanne, and hi, Bill.
Hello, Joanne.
I'm in your Tuesday night Cerritos College class.
Oh, hello, Joanne.
Hi. I hesitate to talk to you after class because Diane put so much time and energy into the class, and I don't want to keep her afterwards, but I wanted to relate this out-of-body, which was not near death.
Okay.
I started to tell it in class but didn't finish it. It occurred while I was at work and in a kind of just a deep thought state, not automatically doing my work and wondering about my life. And I, all of a sudden, instantaneously, I was transported to outer space. And I saw the Earth in such vivid color. And
what color was it around Los Angeles?
Yeah, I didn't see any smog.
Hmm.
The vantage point was like being on another planet or being in the middle of space and just seeing the whole Earth. And at the same time, seeing all the peoples of the Earth, and their hands were joined. Every race, color, and creed. And on top of the Earth was a very, very bright light in the form of a cross. And the message without words was, be at peace. Everything is happening according to plan, but there is a chain reaction going on in the world. And instantaneously, again, it was a vision like I saw without my eyes.
Right.
And when I was back at work, I looked around to see if anyone noticed I was gone, which, of course, they didn't. And the strangest thing was I was not totally odd. It was like, oh, I always knew something like this could happen. I had heard stories of the saints, et cetera. But it wasn't like I knew I couldn't tell anybody, which felt strange.
Well, I'm glad you got out of the closet there.
I know it. I even in class, I hesitated, but...
You know, Diane, I think it's interesting, and Joanne, too, as we relate these experiences, I get a chance to talk to many people from all walks of life, and there is a symbolism about our own belief systems that seems to stick out in them. Like you said, that above the Earth was the cross.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's certainly a very strong piece of symbolism within the Judeo-Christian culture.
Mm-hmm.
But people who are from India or from another culture altogether will have a similar kind of sense that you will of viewing the earth at one time, but their symbol won't be the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be something else.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very interesting to me, how we filter these things through our own thought processes and or belief systems.
That's true with the out-of-body, but what's interesting with near-death experiences is it's almost universal, even for people who are agnostic or atheistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
In their background, they still have encounters with the white light and feel this overwhelming love and presence. So the NDE, the near-death experience, does have some overwhelming characteristics that unite all people who've had it.
Right.
I feel very much at home in your class.
Oh, thank you, Joanne.
And how would I go about, say, doing... I would like to work in the field someday.
Well, just keep looking. Find a place for yourself.
Do they pay well over there on the other side?
Well, when you encounter experiences like that, was just one. There's been many.
Oh, lovely.
I wonder, like Diane says, these things are happening for a reason. And I would like to find out that reason.
Just keep looking.
Well, I think it's important that you do. And only you are going to find that thing.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you both.
All right, Joanne.
Bye,
Thank you very much. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Diane Morrissey. We're talking to be in one of your classes, Diane Morrissey. How would I do it?
Well, you can simply call the colleges that I teach at, and I'll name them alphabetically.
Okay.
It's an ongoing program in ESP, parapsychology, clairvoyance, astral projection, etc.
All the good stuff.
Yes, uh-huh. And I teach at currently at Cerritos College in Norwalk, Chaffey College in Alta Loma, Coastline College in Fountain Valley, Fullerton College in Fullerton, Long Beach City College, Mount San Antonio College in Walnut, Orange Coast College in Costa Mesa, Rio Hondo College in Whittier, Riverside City College, Sacramento College, Saddleback College in Mission Viejo, San Diego, at Grossmont College, and Santa Monica College.
And she puts about 150,000 miles a year on her car. My goodness.
Or fly there, one of the
yeah.
two. I wish I could do all of those astrally.
That was my next suggestion, you know. We're taking a group of Open Mind listeners to London in May. We were going to do it in October.
Mm-hmm.
But I got busy and with things and we couldn't go. So we'll go in May. And we're all supposed to get airline tickets.
Mm-hmm. Now, Could be much cheaper,
if we
Bill.
Work this out just right,
yes.
we can forego Air Caledonia.
Yes.
That's what Ken and Bob accused me about.
Of course, you probably wouldn't be able to eat or enjoy any kind of drink and be merry because you can't do that while you're out.
You know, that's a point I hadn't thought about. Cancel the astral projectile thing. You know, that I'll go ahead and pay the airline ticket. There's something. Well, I don't know. What do they do on the other side for fun?
Well, there's so much love. You don't really look for things for fun. It's simply the love is all the experience one needs to have.
Not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Instead, we're going to go to a caller here. Who do we have on?
I think it's me.
I think so.
Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
Hi, Diane.
Hello.
We have met at Dr. Moss's a couple of times.
Oh, we have. Okay.
Yeah.
You and Thelma been getting it on, have you?
Not lately, no.
Okay.
See, it's such a delight.
Diane and I had made some plans once, though, and they fell through. We stood in the parking lot, and we talked about trying to move objects. Do you remember?
Well, refresh my memory. Are you the lady that bends spoons?
Yes.
I recall. I remember Thelma's introduction of the two of us. It was quite humorous.
Yes, it was funny.
You bend spoons, you probably go out of body.
I also break crystals.
And break, really rubbing it in tonight, aren't you, now?
That upset me.
Yeah.
That upset me. It's my favorite piece of crystal.
Well, be careful with your mind.
Yeah, I will. But I was wondering, have you tried to move things, Diane?
I have, and I found a little success here, but it's just not something that I've pursued in the physical body. I would love to do it in the astral body. That would mean much more to me.
Well, whenever she said moving things, in my mind came up, when you're in the out-of-body state, are you able to move things around?
That I can't do. One night when I visited Thelma, I tried to knock her water glass over.
But see, some people can move things.
And I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, nobody can do this field all the time. In the paranormal field, all things don't happen all the time. If you think you do, then I think you have a problem.
Yeah. But you're right. The near-death experience opens you up to so many other kinds of things.
It does.
Did you ever have a near-death experience?
Yes, quite a strong one. I was 19. I came home from college for the weekend on a Saturday, and I had pneumonia. And the next thing I knew, it was Wednesday. And I spent 4 days on a pink cloud over my mother's bed.
On a pink cloud?
Yeah, it was lovely. It was like walking around in a trampoline. It was bright and airy and soft. And I watched everything they did, how they took care of me, who came in, who came out. I was absolutely right about it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you were able to confirm that afterwards, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't keep it to yourself. You asked about things.
Well, you know, I was 19. I thought I was hallucinating. So you did tell.
Right.
And my mother and father and the doctor, they were all just shocked. Of course, nobody talked about those things. It was a long time ago.
Well, we hope that people will start talking about them more. That's one of the reasons that Diane is here.
It's called
Get Out of the Closet Time.
Right, and share your near-death experiences and out-of-body. So everyone who has had them that are afraid to share will become more open and realize that they're just like everyone else who's had one.
And also important is that there is a great deal to be learned about living this life out of that, that you can share with other people.
Yes. And that lack of fear is so very important.
It is.
That, I think, is the biggest thing of all. It's also led, I've had a lot of losses. It's led me to be able to go back and forth. I can now visit.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Many people have had one near-death experience, having had never a near-death experience or out-of-body before it, suddenly experienced that they can now travel out-of-body. I can't answer why that takes place. We don't know.
Oh, I think that's finally realizing, breaking down the left side of the brain.
That could be, but IANs can't really say that they have an answer why that takes place.
Well, that's right. You don't have any
concrete
evidence. You just got now a metaphysical belief, if you want to look at it that way.
For sure.
Well, I lost a child, and it's as though he came to me. And that opened the visiting.
Mm-hmm.
So you just visit all around?
Yeah, I've been to some interesting places.
One of these days, you know, if the INS people are listening to this show, they're going to figure out a way to have visas to do this. You know how bureaucrats are.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
They'll try to regulate it.
Are you still planning on going to Stonehenge?
Yes, we are. We're going in May.
You definitely are.
That's the word I have now.
Well, then I've got to try to do that because I've been there several times.
Well, we want you along.
And there are things I want to see, if they're true.
Okay.
And I'm glad you called, Barbara, and shared again with me.
Should we try sometime?
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see you. I'm Bill Jenkins with Diane Morrissey. We're talking about the near-death experience. Become a part of your group. Is there any way to join the association or to get mailings from the association or to see you or whatever?
They can find out either about the classes or about the International Association for Near-Death Studies by writing me at Diane Morrissey at Post Office Box 4241, Santa Fe Springs, California, 90670, and please enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope.
And I am sure that they will get that information back to you perhaps a little bit faster than I am getting information back to you that you asked me about a month ago about things in the Bible divisible by seven. We have been renovating the newsroom. I've had guests in all over. And I just haven't got around to doing all of it yet.
But he'll do it.
I'll do it. But, Diane, you will be faster on that, I hope.
Well, I'll get my little computer going.
Get it going. You're on Open Mind tonight. Who are we talking to?
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Diane?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is great. This has been a good day.
Okay.
I have some questions. Diane, whoever accused you of being busy, the first question I wanted to ask you was, if you came when you came back from this experience, if you had any new thoughts or ideas or new feelings about suicide and the victims of suicide.
I do.
You encountered victims of suicide.
No, I didn't during the experience. I've talked to a few people, though, who had tried to kill themselves. In one instance, a lady who had taken enough barbiturates, they said, to kill about 20 men, and they pulled her through that. And she was forced to see in her past life review a future review of what would have happened had she stayed alive. And it caused in her, not anguish, that's the wrong word, but a tremendous desire to again stay alive so she could create that and make it happen. So I am aware that with suicide victims, and again, it's not a victim because they are brought back, that some very unusual things happen. And,
but you didn't encounter any souls yourself?
No, I did meet a woman on the other side. And I was totally aware that she not only knew everything about my past, my future, everything I'd ever thought and said to another human being, and was the most loving presence I have ever felt in my life.
Did she transfer any information to you about how she felt about what had happened? Or did you get that far?
Happened with what? I don't understand
your question. The fact that she had committed suicide.
Oh, no. This is a woman I met during my near-death experience that helped me decide whether I would choose to stay where I was or return.
Oh, that was going
to
be one of my questions.
Uh-huh.
If you had had help in deciding whether or not, or was it your choice?
In my retrospection of the event, I really do believe that she aided that choice, but the choice was totally within me to make, that I could decide to stay there or I could decide to return.
And Johnson was the only person you encountered on that side?
That's true. And once I came to the white light, my experience was that I felt that presence was all-loving and all-knowledge, both past and future. Everything accumulated into that white light, and that indeed was, for me, God at that time.
And did you encounter anyone on that side, like this lady or this lady that you were talking about, that you could recognize and identify when you woke up or when you came to in this life, or someone that you knew?
That question is multiple. I didn't see anyone on the other side. In other words, while I was dead, I didn't see anyone on the other side that I recognized. But when I returned, I was totally aware of my environment and everything that I had experienced, and was quite cognizant of that fact.
And so what you're saying is that the person that you did come in contact with was pretty much a stranger to you. Even though it was loving, it was...
Tremendously loving. She knew more about me than anybody could ever know about me.
And when you traveled about, were you aware that you... Did you have any, like, position sense? Were you floating, walking, flying...
I did all of those things. In my house, I looked down at one point only to discover, I looked down to actually wonder why my feet weren't hurting. For the first time in my life, I was walking without pain, and I looked down at my legs to find out why, and I discovered I wasn't on the ground. I was about 6 inches off the ground.
Just floating along.
Yes, just kind of walking, but above the ground.
And in your consciousness, could you picture, I mean, did you have a position sense? Were you in a sitting position? Or is that gone? Or is it gone for you?
When I was in my home, I knew exactly where I was. When I was going through the tunnel, I can't say whether I was...
No, I mean your physical position, like sitting or standing or...
Of the physical body?
Yeah.
The paramedics worked on me and I was laying down the entire time. The physical body was laying down.
And when you were traveling through the tunnel, did you feel air or like a breeze or wind?
I felt a sensation of passing things or... things passing me. I can't say that I felt any resistance at all during that passage.
Streamlined.
I'm sorry?
She was streamlined.
I was aware I was moving very quickly, but I didn't feel resistance like you would feel wind.
Did you move, you say quickly, did you move quickly, you mean coming back? Or
Both directions. Any time that I went through a tunnel, I felt it was extremely quickly.
That seems to be the general case, that the movement is extremely rapid.
It is. There were points in the house when I traveled through the walls and was cognizant of the fact that I moved through them, and it was happening. I was watching it while it was taking place. Other times, I had a simple desire. I wonder where my dog is, for instance, one time, and I instantly ended up outside, no time or space passing in between the two events. Just the desire caused me to be in a different place.
You kind of willed yourself from
place
to place.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. So both things happened to me.
Does that all that help you?
Can I press my luck? I have one more.
Well, I have a bunch of other calls.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Diane.
Right.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, hon. Good questions, your whole series.
For sure.
I want to get to, who do we have on the line here? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hang on just a second?
Sure.
I want to do one little piece of business, and I want you to ask your questions of Diane, okay?
My name is Noel.
Hi, Noel.
I'm both a first-time caller and an ex-cynic. And
an
I
ex-cynic.
Have thoroughly...
An ex-cynic. That's
an ex-cynic.
Music to our ears, Noel.
I have thoroughly enjoyed the entire 3 hours tonight, and I have a couple quick questions. Diane, you mentioned throughout the show that most of the experiences, or all the experiences, have been pleasurable. Do you ever have research that this time is hell?
You mean our physical life?
No. During this time of leaving the body, with the tunnel and the pleasurable experience, do people have negative experience? Do they see, rather than a positive, they see a negative?
During a near-death experience, a few people have seen negative things, but again, they return to their body with a tremendous, overwhelming sense within themselves now to live a more positive life, to make things work for them, so that their universe around them and themselves are now connected as one.
I wonder, in that line of, like we were talking about, the lady saw the cross which mm-hmm. is an imagery of the Christian Judeo society,
mm-hmm.
whereas somebody from India may have seen some other symbol. If they experienced a negative or a hellish kind of place, could that not also be a reflection of where they spiritually are at that time, their spiritual nature, character, and personality?
It's hard to answer. I can't answer that. I was aware at the near-death experience of heaven and hell. I believed in both. I'm not sure now about that. I absolutely know for myself and many other near-death experiences that we do indeed survive death in some manner or fashion. What that manner or fashion is, it's hard to say.
Well, the cynicism that I was mentioning before came from, I'll say, the 50s Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to earlier, though, you mentioned fire and brimstone and what have you. Mm-hmm. Well, Catholicism of the 50s, where I'm from, New Jersey, was just that. And
the Church of Christ of any time, which is what I grew up
mm-hmm.
in.
And you die, you go to heaven, you go to hell, and you go to heaven only if you are without sin and what have you.
True.
It's as cut and dry as that.
This was also my background, and I can tell you that what I experienced was the most positive, loving thing that has ever happened to me, and I can't imagine that anything could ever happen as wonderful as that day in June of 77.
Do you feel, Diane, that this is for a chosen few or for the masses, that this is, that they are capable, we are capable of doing this?
Well, what's interesting is the people that it happens to, once they get over the skepticism of other people, they have the tremendous desire to want to share this with other people so that we can let them know about how marvelous it is on the other side.
And that's our message, Noel. Thank you very much. We're done. Diane Morrissey, you're going to have to come back, and we will pick up
on
this conversation.
I will.
It has been uplifting and delightful, and thank you so very, very much. Next week, Lee Elders will join me, and we'll go into great detail about the amazing experiences of Billy Meyer with his friends from the Pleiades Star Cluster. You'll enjoy that. We'll see you then.
Celebrations, honey, fly.